the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this last episode of 2024, we look into the subject of intercession, the seventh part in our series on prayer. We hope you've enjoyed and have been blessed by the recordings this year, and we'll see you again in 2025. The main reading is Genesis chapter 18.
Amazing, really, that. But we'll just delve into that. We've been talking about prayer, what the Lord longs for us to do, be. And remember, we read this verse. Often we wonder where prayer is. What did the Lord say? First, I urge you then, first of all. The request, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone. Hallelujah. So there's our verse there. First. That's why the Bible, that's where what Jesus, when we talk about Jesus, what he got angry over, the one thing he got angry was where the place should have been a place, house of prayer, where people met the Lord and encountered with God, had been turned into a thoroughfare, a place of business, a place of ripping people off, where they weren't going to meet the Lord. And that's his heart cry, his heart that we'll know him, that we'll spend time with him, that we're intimate with him. And we get to that place, of course, we talk about different words for prayer and different aspects and different, where we're just talking with the Lord, where we're asking for certain things, where we're thanking him and obviously just being in his presence, where, as we said last week, we be still, or as someone else said, shut up. Either way, depending on what you like, some of us need to be told to shut up. Some of us just need to be still. But this week, I'm just going to just drop in on this amazing ministry that the Lord calls us to is intercession. Intercession, which is, the word intercession, it means to come between, to mediate, to plead, to petition a superior, approaching a king, plead for, with a person, for a person, being the person that stands in the gap, that interposes for another. Now, that's an amazing thing. And when we just look in a minute that God is looking for those people, that's an amazing that we can be those people and stand in the gap. We just talked last week, the weeks before, the priesthood of all believers. What did a priest do in the Old Testament? He represented the people to God and the other way around. And that's what we are. That's who we are. And never, the devil is a liar. I remember when we had London City Mission the other day, didn't we? And he said, we've forgotten subtly the power of the gospel. So often, because we may not have seen people coming to know the Lord as we should, we've forgotten it's still the power of God of salvation, isn't it? And remember who we are before. We are his children. We can talk to Father and move the hand that moves the word. The Bible says the Lord moves the heart of the king like a watercourse. He's sovereign, isn't he? He's still over all. And but thankfully, first, again, always our example, of course, it is always Jesus. Let's read that one verse, Hebrews 7:25.
Therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
He always lives to what? To make intercession. He is representing us before Father. Now, if you didn't, if you thought you were a bit discouraged tonight, that maybe no one's praying for you. Well, we should be praying for each other, of course. But there is one praying for you. Hallelujah. There is one praying for you. What did the Bible say? Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore our sins and he made intercession for the transgressors. Romans 8:35. What does he say there? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? No, that's the wrong verse. Verse 34, who condemns Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, now is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. He is interposing up there. Simon, Satan has asked to sieve you, to sift you. Actually, the word there is sift you is plural. He's asked, sift you all. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Yeah. Simon, I prayed for you personally. I have prayed for you that you're going to be saved. Oh, yes. But when you come out the other side, oh, strengthen your brothers. Preach the word. Be my man. And of course, Simon said, "Well, I'll be fine. Nothing's gonna affect me." Until three times, even to a little girl. I don't know him. I bring curses down, didn't he? Swore. I don't know. But the Lord restored him. Bless the Lord, because the Lord had prayed for him. So he's our intercessor. He's our example. He prays for those. Let's look at some examples in the Word. Where an intercessor, it's amazing really, stays the arm and the hand of the Lord. Because he uses those terms that we understand, that God doesn't change his mind, but the Bible says God changed his mind, didn't he? He repents. Well, of course he doesn't. He knows what he's doing, but what he's trying to tell us is that someone who intercedes as authority, as influence with heaven. Let's read Moses. What a great example of Moses. The background to this one is he's up on the mountain receiving. You think, how dull are these people? The Lord, they've just seen the Lord destroy Egypt, destroy their gods, open the sea. They come through the sea, then he destroys the Egyptians behind them. And then he gives them water, then he feeds them with manna, and now he's gone. He's only there, but he's in 40 days yet. He's gone, and they say, oh, he's left us. Where is that? What's happening out there? Let's make our own gods. And Aaron didn't have any backbone, did he? And he's a fibber. He said, I threw it in, and out popped this calf. He said, out popped this calf. No, it didn't, eh? You fashioned it. Because again, they were taken out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't taken out of them. This Red Sea is a picture, is a symbol of baptism, that we are dying to the world. But remember, we've got it. It's a daily process, isn't it? Because the Bible says when Stephen was he gave his preach before he martyred, they came out of Egypt, but their hearts were still there. And we've got to be careful in the church that we say our hearts are still in the world, still anchoring after those things. Give us clear sight, Lord. What the world has to offer is temporal. It doesn't last. It's ineffective in the end of the day. Lord, help us to see that. So here he is. They made the calf, and he's up on the mountain still. And the Lord says, these people are, ay, ay, ay. And the Bible says, here's Moses' response. Moses, he said, let me wipe them out and I'll start a new generation with you. I would have said, definitely. Yes, but this is Moses. This is the great intercessor. This is Exodus 32, 11 to 14.
Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people.
Moses pled for the people, didn't he? He identified with the people. So I suppose there's a process in intercession where we identify with the situation, we identify with a problem, a cause, a person. Sometimes we can identify with it quite easily if we've gone through a situation. We can identify it. Other times the Lord just lays on our heart that burden. That burden. We talked about the burden the other day, didn't we? The burden that brings us to a place of brokenness. And then out of that brokenness, there's a blessing, there's an answer. But here he's identifying with the people. He's one of them, isn't he? Lord, yes, But remember, for your name's sake, for your glory, remember your promises. Hallelujah. He takes all of the word and he brings it. And we can do that, can't we? Lord, you said this. You promised to build your church. You promised to pour out your spirit in the last days. This is what you've said. Lord, as Daniel, he took up the word and said, Lord. And it's weight. Now, this is not an easy thing, because the weight of the burden can wipe you out in a sense. It did with Jesus, didn't he? He was wiped out after pleading with the Lord. I think about just reading about Daniel. Remember Daniel had all that revelation. The Bible said, I lay there for days, just wiped out. Because our natural body can't always cope with the supernatural and the spirit, because it is a fallen body. This body's fallen. So when it comes to that realm, and Jesus agonized. There's an agony. There's a pressing in, but then out through it, there's an intensity. There's an agony, but it comes out the other side with authority and influence. Daniel understood it, didn't he? He said, while you were praying, oh, the prince, and that we have a glimpse into the supernatural, into the spiritual, which we, again, our minds can't understand. But we know when we pray, things change. The atmosphere, if you like, if you want to use that word, changes. Why? Because we're bringing God into the situation. And here's Moses, he's pleading. And then again, Moses pleading again. Next chapter, Exodus 33. Remember, the background of this is the Lord says, you can go up, but I won't be coming with you. I'm not coming with you. I'll send an angel, but I can't come with you. Here's his answer. Exodus 33, 12 to 18.
And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Yeah. Talked about that before, didn't we? That prayer, one of the greatest prayers. Show me your glory, Lord. Amen. But you see, where is he appealing from? He's appealing from intimacy with the Lord, isn't he? He's intimate with the Lord. He's bearing his heart. Lord, you said, I've got favor in your sight. We are close. We are close, Lord. So please do this with me. If you send us, we're not going without you. He said, I'm certainly not going. He said, what will distinguish us from the Gentiles, the pagans, if you're not with us? And that's a great prayer for the church. You see, we as a church, or a church generally, can go on without the Lord, can't we? The Bible tells us that. We can go on being religious. But unless the Lord goes with us, how effective are we going to be? How are people going to see the difference? And that's the bottom line. That's the great power, is the difference in our life, the hope, the peace, the joy. Not the circumstance and the difficulties free. No. But in the middle of those, all the wonder and the beauty of the gospel. And that comes close to the Lord. And he gets to a point where he says, Lord, you know, I remember he's seen some of the Lord, isn't he? He spent 40 days up on that mountain. He comes down and he's beaming. And he still said, Lord, let me see your glory. See, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we want to be with the Lord. The less time we spend, the less time we'll fill it with other things. naturally, and we'll drift away. But the more we see that, Lord, His beauty, His wonder, show me Your glory. And we see Moses, the great intercessor, even the Bible says it in, we just read it in 1 Timothy 2, pray on all occasion for all people, even those that don't deserve it. Remember Miriam and Aaron? Now, you say, why did Miriam have the leprosy and not Aaron? Because it was Miriam who instigated the gossip. How do we know that? Because her name was put first. And that's very unusual, because you usually put the man, he's the older as well, you put the man before the woman. But she said Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses about his wife. No. Who do you think he is? Who do you think he is? God has spoken through us. He didn't have them. And they gossiping and they're bringing him down, and they're, oh, careful now. And the Lord, now, wonderful, Moses could have got stuck into him, couldn't he? Oi! But the Bible says Moses was meek, didn't say a word. And the Lord said, oi, come to the tabernacle a minute, you three. Come here. And off they go. And he said, usually when I talk, I bring a prophet and I give him a message and he gives him a message. But not with Moses. I talk to him as a man talks to a friend, face to face, mouth to mouth. Why did you begin to speak against him? How dare you speak against him? Now, because you have, and the Bible says she became leprous. What did Moses do? Save, and because he's his sister, isn't it? Saves you, right? No. Numbers 12 says, no. Straight away he gets on his knees. Lord, please, have mercy. He intercedes, he interposes for Miriam, who deserved, because she was chops in with me, and shouldn't have been chops in against in Moses. But he intercedes. He says, Lord, please, come, have mercy upon her. Restore her. Don't do this. And the Lord says, okay. She'll have 7 days outside the camp because of a consequence. If there's consequences of what we do, then she'll be restored. So even then, Moses, the great intercessor, and then we know where we can intercede for those people, those things that not necessarily we identify, but the Lord brings us to that place. Now, Psalm 106 goes through the history of Israel, and he pops this in, the writer of the Psalm, and Psalm 106, 21, 23.
They forgot God, their Saviour, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them?
Had not Moses stood in the breach? You say, well, Dave, if we have that kind of authority, well, if we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, absolutely, absolutely. Our prayers are, what does the Bible tell us? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said even Elijah, frightened of a woman, prayed and there wasn't rain. And then he prayed and there was rain. That's the context of that verse. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, can change. I was just thinking the other day, and just reminded of Wigglesworth and Jeffrey's brothers. I'm just thinking about limbs growing back, you know, and you think, surely, they're documented, you know, these were, remember, these were Wigglesworth and that, they were, couldn't pull the wool over their eyes, they were working class, tough men. And they said, people said, limbs, eyes would grow back. Unbelievable, Lord. If that's, he's a great I am, isn't he? And that's our Father, that's our God. So there's Moses the intercessor, who spoke with God face to face. Oh Lord, get us to that place where we can identify, we can agonize, yes, agonize, Lord, please. And then have such an influence that can change the course. Here's another David, of course, a man after God's own heart. 1 Chronicles 21, 16 to 18.
David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth, with his own sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell face down. David said to God, "Was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? O Lord, my God, let your hand fall upon me and my family, but do not let this plague remain in your people." Then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite.
David said, "Lord, take me, let me, let take me." Now that's great. That's the place where we are of the heart of God, isn't it? It's what Jesus did. "Lord, I will take their place. I will be the one that comes." And it was partly, if you read the context of it, Israel was in sin and David had pride because he said, "I want to number my thing." And it's interesting that his pride, the pride of the sin of our emotion, that pride caused far more destruction than the sin of his flesh, his adultery, which is very interesting. So we have his pride, but also the Lord stood up against Israel because there was sin in Israel. But when he saw the judgment of God, "Lord, have mercy, Lord, take me." That he's standing in the gap, even for Israel. Or that we would see that over our nation. "Lord, look at our nation, Lord. We are heading for judgment, rightly so." Praying later, obviously, for that vote tomorrow. If that goes through, you know, that's another nail, isn't it, in the coffin of our nation. But we are praying and intercede. Now, interesting that in the intercession, of course, we see Moses get to that place where he's so close to the Lord. He's, "Lord, show me your glory." David there, right beginning of that place where they built the altar on that site where Jesus would come as well. And here's Job 42, 7-10, I think.
"After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has.' So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before."
I've noticed that just a while ago that it wasn't till Job interceded for his friends that restoration and the double portion came. Remember that God has called us. This is not just for certain people to intercede. No, he's called us all to be people that pray for others and even have such a weight that we interpose. And Job, he said, I will not deal with you unless Job prays for you. And Job wouldn't have that release of the blessing and the prosperity from God until he had prayed for those. And that's the order of it. And he interposed, he interceded for his friends. The sacrifices were received. They were restored, wouldn't they? Because they hadn't spoken rightly. Double portion for Job after all that trouble. Not sure about what happened to the wife, of course, but we'll leave that there. Let's just drop back into Abraham, this great intercession. And Abraham is pleading with God, and again he knows who he is. He says in verse 20, one of them, I haven't got it written down, but he says, I am I am just dust and ashes. It's exactly the same word from Genesis 2, where God created us out of the dust. He remembered who he was, but he remembered because he was in the presence of the Lord. God had called him to the presence, and he stood, the Bible tells he invited the Lord in. He was walking with the Lord. He took his stand with the Lord. And then the another word, he drew near to the Lord, and now he was conversing. Lord, have mercy upon me. Let me be bold in your presence, as we can be. Remember, we read last week, Hebrews, be bold, draw near, be bold. He said, there's 50. Yeah. If there's, Lord, remember, I'm only dust and ashes, but I'm going to appeal to you. And then he comes to the end of it. Lord, I've been bold up until now, so I'm going to be bold again. And the Lord brings us closer and closer where we are intimate with him. We are free in his presence. To speak, in a sense, speak our mind, if you like. He gets him down to 10. Now, they say that the population could have been certainly well over 10,000 of that particular area. So he was bringing it down to 0.1%. Can you find 10? 0.1%, that is minuscule, isn't it? Even Britain, I don't know what the last figure was, 6, 7, 8% Christian, how they work that out. Even so, that's the difference. And we think we're in trouble. 0.1%. And he said, if there's 10, I'll save. But he couldn't find 10, could he? He could find Lot. He wasn't the best. His daughters, well, we know they weren't great after. His wife, well, we know her heart was still back there. And the sons-in-laws, well, they just thought it was a joke. And they stayed there. So he couldn't find maybe one Lot. And that's all he could find. But Abraham interceded. He felt the burden. What's the burden? His family. That was his burden. The family. His family were there and they would be destroyed. And maybe that broadened out from that. But that was his first burden. And God does that. He brings us, as we said before, to a specific burden which broadens out into a work that God wants to do with us. We said of Jacob, his problem wasn't Esau, his problem was him. He thought it was Esau. It was fear that brought him to his knees, pleading with the Lord, I will not let you go. But his great problem was himself. God was working on him to make him, to change his name, to change his nature, to bring the blessing of God upon him. James 2. 21:23.
Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.
So we see he was the friend of God. How? Because he was listened, obeyed, got into the presence of God, knew what it was to intercede, to be that person that identified, agonized, and moved to that place of influence, of authority. Powerful. Paul knew exactly that as well. Romans 9, 1-5.
I tell the truth in Christ. I am not living, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself was accused from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promise, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternal, blessed God. Amen.
Listen to Paul's word. He said, I wish I was accursed instead, in place of my brothers. What a prayer that is. That is a place of intercession there. Lord, let me be instead of them. That's where there's real influence. There's real authority, but there's nothing left of me. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Me is gone,
yeah.
And there's always our problem. There's a lot of me in the place. Even now, I was thinking the other day, Lord, dear, something happened. Still, there's so much me there, and God wants to bring us to a place where there's all Him, all Him. We see like Him. We agonize like Him, and God is looking, as He did in the Old Testament. He says, people who will stand in the gap. Isaiah 59:15-16.
Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him.
Talking to Israel's backslidden, read the context for Isaiah 59. It's truth is nowhere, truth is gone, justice is gone. Great picture again of any nation that's moved away from the Lord. He said, I looked for a man, didn't I? I looked, and I was astounded. He was astonished. There was no one to intercede. And just reading the Psalms this week, Lord, it is time for you to move. They have rejected your law. They have done violence to your law. Lord, move. Come and intercede. God is looking for those intercessors. How about this? Same principle. Israel, he's describing them. And then he comes to Ezekiel 22:30-31.
And they sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me to the land, that they should not destroy it. But they found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, says the Lord God.
Again, background, what does he say? Your princes, your prophets, your priests, your officials, your prophets are lying, your priests do violence to the law, your princes are greedy and they corrupt, officials are tearing prey, they shed blood, they kill for unjust gain, and he goes on and on. This is the state of the nation. He said, why can't you see, and where is the man that would stand in the gap, that would intercede? He said, I found none. And of course, the end result was wrath of God. Wrath of God. That's the power of intercession. That's the power of a man or woman that will stand and see the devastation in our land and say, God, it is time for you to move. And we will not let you go until you do something, until you pour out your spirit and rain, in a sense, the Holy Spirit down. Hallelujah. That can change the course of a nation. Well, we have that ability. We have access. We have ability and we have the authority. It's not something we have to earn. We have it because we who we are. Hebrews 4:14-16.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have an high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need.
Yeah, he's our high priest. We have free access. We talked about it last week, draw near with what? With boldness, with candidness, with freedom of speech, with liberty of speech. Amazing, really, isn't it? That we can go into the presence of God and speak. Clearly, openly, we can mourn and groan to God. God longs for that. Don't mourn and groan to your neighbour. They don't want to hear it, do they? Mourn and groan to the Lord. And pour your heart out to Him. And we love, if you read this, the prophets, Jeremiah, that's all he was mourning on most of the time, wasn't he? Understandably, because he was preaching God's word and no one's listening to him. Lord, and he's praying for the people. And then God said, stop interceding now, it's too late. Don't intercede for these people anymore. And he said, Lord, I wish I hadn't started this. Well enough. He said, but your word is like a fire in me.
Oh,
burning within me. And I have to speak it out. Have to declare it. So we have access, we have the ability, and then we have the authority. To as many as receive, to many as believe, we have the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. Hallelujah. Not left on our own. We read these verses before, Romans 8, 26, 28.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Now we like that verse, don't we? But John, again, context. Always read the verses around it to give it context. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. We are groaning. That word groaning is an unutterable sigh, mourn. God, we need you. We need you. Poor in spirit. He's interceding through us. He's helping us intercede. We don't know what to say, but he's praying. That's why tongues is absolutely mighty in that area. Don't know what to pray, but we are praying, interceding. And then through that, all things work together for good to those who love him. So he's interceding for us. He's wanting the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he just puts a burden on you, doesn't he? Sometimes he just waits upon you. You see a situation, you hear a situation, see something on the news. It just causes you to pray over it and say, Lord, break into that situation. Speak into that situation. And of course, ultimately, praying and all things, prayer is is where our battles are won and lost. Prayer is spiritual warfare. People talk about this and that about spiritual warfare, but what does the Bible say? Ephesians 6, 18 to 20.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Yeah, that comes after the armour of God, isn't it? Our battle, it's not flesh and blood, it's the principalities, powers of me. Put on the full armour of God, then what does he say? And pray in the Spirit. When? All occasions. For who? With what? All kinds of prayers. For who? For all people. Bless the Lord. Be alert. Be ready. Be watchful. Then we looked at watchman anointing. Watchman means to be sleepless, to chase sleep. We love sleep, don't we? The disciples, where were they? Supposed to be praying, they've fallen asleep. Jesus came, what? Dude? Watch and pray. He said, I know, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Now, come on. And he went back and they were sleeping again. He said, now, pray that you will not fall into temptation. There's our battle, isn't it? If we're in prayer, temptation will come, but it will not overrun us. Why? Because we are close to the Lord. We are ready. We are watchful. We're in battle mode, if you like. We are seeing what he's doing. Isn't it amazing? If you've been married long enough, you can see an argument coming, can't you? You can see it coming from a long way off. Something happened, and you can either, let me just put it this way, Jackie does something, and I could say something, I could do something, and I thought, well, although Jackie's not an arguer, sadly, I just have the silent treatment. I like a good bit of an argument, but I know if she's done something, says something, now it might be right, might be wrong. And I could say something. I know it. I could have been married long enough. I know that I shouldn't say something. I know that I shouldn't do it. But, you know, sometimes it gets the better of you, doesn't it? And you say something, you think, oh, no, no, no. And you can see it. Exactly the same with sin and with temptation. You can see it coming. Or you know if you did that, you go down that way, you're going to end up in the wrong place. And that's when we are close to him, when we are praying, when we interceding, all occasions, all kinds of prayers. Oh Lord, there's an identification, there's an identifying, there's an intensity, there's an agony because we are in that. In fact, we're taking something to the place of that person, which is amazing, isn't it? And then we come through into that authority and that influence where Lord can see, Lord, change that, move that situation or change that issue, change that person. And over the years, we've seen that, haven't we? Seen things change. Sometimes we haven't seen things change as we wanted, but that's what the Lord has brought us to that place where we know him more. Remember that sometimes our burden is just to get us to a place where we are in his presence. Bless the Lord. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.